Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is Story Tap,
where we try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story. This episode,
Gradient. Whiplash meets pie meets The Devil Wears Prada.
We're back! Yeah.
Did you miss us? No, shut up.
No ceremony. I had to move and shoot a short film in like the same week and a half, so yeah, I just sort of took a couple weeks off.
I just wandered away to do stuff, I guess.
But the idea I had for a new episode was I haven't watched Whiplash yet. I have not watched Dave yet. I have seen Birdman, or wait, what's that movie called with Batman?
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it's Birdman.
It's Birdman, or
The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
But the sort of cohesive theme there is, particularly in entertainment industries, or rather entertainment-based careers, you have to sort of give an amount of yourself that just is not really expected of you anywhere else. Particularly if you want to be, like, the best, air quotes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and actually, I do kind of understand what you're saying there. And, like, not even necessarily, it's like, you work harder than anybody else, it's that, like, there's a piece of you that's coming out of this.
Yeah, like, work-life balance, like, isn't really good. Mm. I don't want to say it's not possible, it's just that, like, he gives a speech to his girlfriend in Whiplash, a movie I have not seen, and he says, here's what's gonna happen, I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to be taking days off, and I'll say I'll make it to things, but I won't, and then you're gonna hate me, blah, 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 blah. So then he's like, that's why I'm breaking up with you now, and she's like, I don't know exactly what happens, but either she says, like, don't be a douche, let's try, or she's like, you're a douche, I'm breaking up with you now. I don't know what happens, but I imagine it's one of those two things.
Right.
So,
have we still not seen Whiplash?
Oh, man. It seems so good. I need to see it.
Yeah.
So, I want to make a movie about that, and I haven't decided yet if the moral is going to be, like, it's worth it or it's not, you know? Like, we could go one way in the direction of, I assume, Whiplash or Dave or that third thing I listed probably goes. Or we could go the direction of Soul. Remember,
I haven't seen Soul either. I've never watched a movie, maybe.
Oh, shocking. Okay, what industry do you want it to be based in? It doesn't have to be entertainment.
I think the obvious route to take is make it auto parts sales. Yeah.
I want to be the best turbo and carburetor salesman.
Okay, great. I don't know. I feel like athletics, but we've done sports movies before.
We have.
We've done sports movies ideas. Some of them are good. Actually, I think a lot of them are good, but let's move in a little different direction here. Mm-hmm. So we are doing this story about the person possessed by an obsession.
Yes.
To be the best in the best they can be, and preferably the best in the world. It's something really specific, an artistic pursuit, or are you?
I see it. I'm pointing at it. I see my Vermeer book in the corner there. Painting. Art. How about that?
It's why they call it painting.
There you go. Who ever heard of a sad clown? Okay.
Doctor, I am Pagliacci.
A favorite. I think painting is a stellar direction to take that. Like, well, it might not be mainstream enough, though, you know?
I don't know. Like, jazz drumming isn't mainstream enough, and that was a great, and Whiplash was super successful.
I guess what I'm saying... Oh, okay, I got it. Well, I get my real complaint wasn't mainstream enough. It was, most people don't know enough about painting to know... Well, yeah, but they didn't know enough about jazz drumming. It was basically what I was complaining about was, I don't know much about painting, when that's not the real issue. That's stupid.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about anything. We hire somebody who does know a lot about painting, and we pay them more money than they make usually making a week for week after week, and once a week they say, no, that's not what painting's like, and we're like, gotcha. And
yeah, there you go. Okay, since we haven't seen Whiplash, I think it's safe to say we're avoiding plagiarism by attaching the sort of antagonistic force of not just, I want to be good, but I want to be the best, and then escalating it even more to, I want to get better at this at cost of my personal life, essentially.
My personal life and my mental health and my physical health.
Exactly. Attach that to an external source before it slowly integrates into our protagonist. Ergo, I don't know how it happened in Whiplash, but, you know, J.K. Simmons owns a painting studio, and he's like, you suck. And okay, well, I just started reading this manga called Blue Period, where, okay, it's Blue Period meets Whiplash. In the manga Blue Period, this kid is, super, I guess the term is popular. He just hangs out with his friends and his family and, hangs out outside of school. And then people are like, oh, yeah, I know those types. But then he's also top of the class.
Right.
And basically, And everybody is like, oh, this guy's got it all. But then you get a peek at his personal life and he feels empty. He's like, I'm doing this just because people tell me it matters and I want to be good at what people think matters. And then, like, when he's dissing the art club, he sees a painting that blows his mind and someone says something along the lines of, painting is how you can communicate without words or without speaking or something like that. And when he explains the painting to his friends, they, like, kind of, they don't, like, outright shit on it, but, like, he's a little cryptic, so they're like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? And he's like, oh, yeah, I was joking. And then, as part of an assignment he has to do, or he fails a class or something, he makes a painting, and then all of his friends see it, and they're like, oh, this is what you were getting at. I know what you mean. I know what, da-da-da-da. And that, like, gives him meaning. He's like, holy, this is what I want to do. So, what we could do is that's sort of like the inciting sort of incident, the tipping point of, we haven't decided what the character's mindset is before, but after this inciting incident, it's, I want to get into painting. We don't really, or art, more nebulous. We don't really have a goal yet, but we definitely have a sort of mindset, a sort of direction. And then that other change, I guess, which would be sort of around the midpoint, is the J.K. Simmons equivalent comes through and says, all right, this is what it takes to be the best. And maybe the guy's an egomaniac? Like, in Blue Period, he's like, I just want to be good at what people attach value to. I don't really care myself. You know?
Yeah.
But we have to be careful. It might just turn into La Comida.
I think there's several ways we can take this. One of the ways that I'm thinking, if you haven't seen Marvelous, Mrs. Maisel, I think it's season 2. This is a spoiler for that. So, and if you're going to watch it this weekend, heads up, spoiler for that. There's just like this one episode where they meet an artist and the dude never sells his work. And supposedly there's this one painting he has that it's just like, it's the best thing that anybody's ever made. And he does wind up showing it to one of them. And he says, is like, I can't have a life, I can't have a family, I can't get married, because everything good about me went into that.
Whew.
Right?
Whew.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ooh, okay. Now it's also pie. Never mind, you finish your
thought. Alternatively, and I don't think it's like these things are mutually exclusive, but I think it's going to be a balance between these two things. There is a difference between like this search for good art and to touch the divine, and find the beautiful and create something that comes from deep inside of you, and this idea of painting the stuff that's popular that you can sell and make a lot of money. It's not necessarily that those things are mutually exclusive, it's just that there is a difference.
Okay.
And I think that is another conflict that we could have in this film about art.
Okay. So I'm imagining right now major plot points of, yeah, essentially, not an egomaniac, but someone with a bit of an identity crisis thinks, I need to get into something new. They get into something new, and then they have a really nice time. It's painting. And then that sort of ego part of, American culture, but I imagine worldwide nowadays, but I can definitely say American, is of, okay, well, now that I'm in here, I need to get better. And then it gets to the point where, oh, I can be the best. And then the ending is a sort of, and okay, yeah, as I mentioned, it's sort of like Pi, you know, the movie Pi, P-I, if you haven't seen. The guy is going for some unattainable thing, and the closer he gets to it, like the more he like withers away, essentially. And what that is he gets in his brain, there is such a thing as the most, like the ideal painting for a time. You know, he's like, it's not literally the perfect painting ever, most perfect painting ever. It is the ideal painting for this day and age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
So
I
he
understand
goes
you're like that.
after. He sets his sights eventually on this unattainable, and that way we get different tiers to it. Tier one, the protagonist, he's just getting into things. Tier two, or J.K. Simmons equivalent, his teacher kind of guy who sees the potential and is like, you might have the, you know, key ingredients for the perfect painting. And then tier three, the perfect painting I heard this guy went on a quest to make, and he made the most, like, the four or five most, you know, critically acclaimed, most expensive also paintings in our day and age. And so main character is just, that's what the sort of middle montage will be. He's busting his ass working on paintings and, you know, getting better, learning stuff. And then tier two, J.K. Simmons, will be busting his ass trying to get a meeting with the tier three guy. And then when he sits down and has that meeting, he's like, I'm trying to make. And then they have a sort of conversation beating around the bush, and he's like, ah, art is this, art is that, and tier one main character's like, yes, truly, I understand. And he's like, I'm gonna cut to the chase after this really awesome conversation that could probably win an Oscar for like best written scene or some shit, considering the potential. I'm trying to make the perfect painting. And the guy like stops, and he looks at him, he's like, the fuck did you just say? What does that mean? And then they have a conversation. Maybe it's shown, maybe it isn't even shown on screen, but then he walks away from it, J.K. Simmons guy. He's like, so, what was going on? What's went out? He's like, I cannot tell you. You will have to wait and see my next painting. And he's like, okay, I'm inviting like the biggest art critics in the world or whatever. I don't know how this works, to this unveiling. And then they get there, he shows it, and then the art critics are like, what? No, I don't get it. Lame, lame, lame. I'm out of here. You completely forewent the basics for the sake of something else. J.K. Simmons is pissed, and then he's like, well, I didn't make it for you. I made it for me. And then, like, you know, his family or someone who he's been growing distant from is invited, and they roll through, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I love it. And then some pedantic millionaire guy comes through, and he's like, I dig this. Do you want a shitload of money for having a positive character arc? Essentially. So that's that story tapped.
That story tapped. It's I don't know if I'd say it's been tapped. It's been we've patted it.
Yep.
We've sort of given it an annoying boop on the nose, but I don't think it's been tapped yet.
Cool. So we've got the direction, we even have like a midpoint and all this other stuff. But now we get to the cooler part. Who is the protagonist? So who is this person? Whose target demographic, I guess? It has to be thematically good. Lower level salaryman at a bank or something?
I don't know. I mean, how long does this take? How long of a story is this? I mean, does it take place over the course of a decade?
I would say a year to a year and a half, 2 years
Don't
ish.
think you understand how long it takes to get good at painting.
Yeah, that's pretty true. How did it start in Whiplash?
I don't know, he was definitely already a drummer.
That's true. Yeah, okay. We'll take the Whiplash formula because it does take a long time to get good, like good at all at painting, and especially, you know, top tier.
Okay, so like we could establish this as it's that this is somebody who's moving on to an MFA program in painting.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
There we go.
Okay.
And then,
So.
but it's, and I mean, it's just gotta be like, it's just gotta kind of start with, it's like, I love painting.
This is
I
good.
love to paint. It's how I be me.
That's awesome.
I
Okay.
love this. And it's like, and someone is like, this is good, but I mean, it doesn't quite work with the assignment. The best I can give you is a B. And he's like, that's okay, man, because I love painting. I loved painting this.
Where?
I can't paint something that I'm that I that didn't come from me, man.
Okay.
I said man a bunch of times there. That was a little weird, but you get
But
my point.
okay, I'm thinking he's sort of in that mindset, and he's thinking we are at a two paths. There's a fork in the road of my life. And on one way there is painting, and on the other way there is, hey man, quit your passion or whatever. It's time to get a quote real job, you know? And so he thinks to himself, the only way that I can justify becoming a painter, like quote full time, is to make a career out of it. So I would have to make money. But it's not about money per se. It's about people telling him, like, that's not a real job.
Right.
So he gets it in his head, well, if I were the best, then no one could ever tell me shit, you know?
Michael Bay.
Nobody ever goes to Michael Bay, thank you, and tells him, like, hey man, what, making movies, shooting movies? Like, no, become a real estate something or other. Like, get a real job, you know? And
True.
it's not just the money, it's the fact that everybody knows him. So he gets it in his head, the notoriety, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes, you
Okay.
know, quote painting a quote real job.
Money and notoriety.
There you
Okay. That
go.
makes sense. I like that.
And so he okay, yeah. What you said in his head, MFA program.
Okay. I don't know about the MFA program. I think that MFA programs are for people who most definitely want to make a career in the arts, but it's like MFAs are very much an academic thing. I think saying it's like he's got an art degree, and like his and there's sort of this mentality like amongst his friends, and it's like, so I guess you're gonna have to go do graphic design or something, right? Because you need a real job, and painter isn't a real job. And then they say some other things with that weird tone. And then he's like, "No, man, I'm gonna go to this gallery. I've got my portfolio, and I'm gonna show them, and I am going to knock their socks off," or however the heck artists get representation. I don't know. There's a lot of, even for us, there's a lot of, I don't know. We would want to hire a con we would want to consult with somebody who knows a little more about the art world, like specifically the gallery world. And then, so I think that this guy, this our J.K. Simmons stand-in, should be a gallery owner as opposed to like a painter. And this guy and brings it to this gallery owner. It's kind of feeling like we don't have any women in this movie, so I think the gallery owner could or should be a woman.
The J stands for Janet. Janet K. Simmons.
Yep, that tracks. And she is like, I was an okay artist, but what I had was an understanding of what made for great art, and I see the potential here. I don't think I can sell any of this stuff that you've shown me, but if you do some stuff that's a little bit different,
Yeah, play more
this
to
is
the
the
mainstream.
play more to the mainstream. It's like these are good red circles. I think you should go with some more green squares. If you go, I think if you do some green squares, if you do green squares in your style, I think we can sell them. And then he's like, "Okay, it's not what I want to paint, but it beats a desk job, like designing websites or whatever. I don't know, whatever art majors do when somebody said when they don't paint." Okay, this is making sense. This is tracking conceptually. And then We just have a little thing and some stuff is happening. And our nameless protagonist starts making money doing art, and he gets too caught up in that. He gets caught up in the ego of making money, and he gets... And I think there's something interesting here. There's kind of a power trip of painting the idea of making something, and somebody being like, I'm gonna buy this, and being like, I know you would. That's why I made it.
Ooh.
I made something, yeah. And now you're gonna drop $30,000 on it.
I got it. So, yeah, and I don't know quite the external, what a painting would even look like that, or who would buy that, this or that, how you would make those connections, but he needs to be able to make more money with each sequential painting or project. It's painting. Each sequential painting he makes, and it needs to be... He needs to be convinced it's because he's learning new techniques. So that leads to him making better paintings, which leads to him making more money. And that's a very, I guess, capitalist kind of mindset. I'm getting better, I'm growing more, that must be rewarded financially.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite. It's like, because I am being rewarded financially, I must be becoming better.
Yes, and so, that way, but because he is human, he has to have some sort of goal in mind, and that's where the ultimate painting sort of enters into his mind.
The ultimate painting.
And I don't quite know what award or dollar amount would signify, you know, a quote perfect painting, because but basically I'm making a movie about the darker side of myself right now.
Okay.
For me it's an Oscar.
Yeah,
it's...
it'd be a great time to sell out.
Yeah, an Oscar for Best Picture is like, if we were making if we just switched a couple words around to this guy was a filmmaker, then it would be like, oh, he's destroying himself, but like, I don't want to make a movie, criticize movie making.
No, yeah, we're not there yet.
No.
I think, I don't know, okay, I think it's between the idea of, like, you've made it to the big leagues, the auction house, like, I don't know, Sotheby's auction house is where they sell the high-end famous art, both contemporary and historic.
This is no time to be making up words, but continue.
It is a very made up sounding word, isn't it? Sotheby's. They also got into real estate recently.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, it's like we're gonna sell your first paint at where you've established, you're establishing enough of a career to sell work with the big dudes like Banksy and others. I don't think I could name Jeff Koons.
Okay. So that's sort of the tipping point of, we begin with a dude who just graduated from something.
Yeah, he's finishing up an arts program.
Cool.
A university arts program.
Painting and architecture. I don't know. That's a very cookie cutter, safe, quote unquote, artsy career choice for films. Someone who's an architect or architectural design, and they're like, okay, so you're gonna start designing buildings and making big breaking big bank, right? And he's like, well, no, I want to paint, so I shall paint. And then he takes it to some people, and they're, you know, like judges for a gallery, essentially, and they're like, okay, good, not great, whatever. And he's like, okay, fine, I'm maybe painting ain't for me. And then the devil apparently comes through, and she's like, no, keep painting. You have the potential. You have the making of greatness in you, Jimbo. And then he goes up and he gets on that grind, and this J.K. Simmons stand-in.
That didn't sound evil. You have the makings of greatness doesn't sound...
No, yeah, right. That was just the speech from Treasure Planet.
I know, but I think you have to be clear that the message here is like, you can be great if you change.
Yeah.
If you change who you are.
Just, you know, just a little less time with the fam, a little less time with friends, a little less eating and sleeping here and there. And it's just like, okay, screw tape, bet. And then they keep at it. He's working day and night, but it's the Devil Wears Prada. He makes time for his friends, and more he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I gotta step away. At first, it will be, I have to step away because I have to talk to this gallery owner or this critic or this painter I admire who I want to emulate. And then his friends and family, they're like, no, cool, it's cool. Take the call. Go step away. Do your thing. But then it becomes, sorry, can't make it to the bar tonight. I would rather paint. And they're like, well, I mean, good for him, I suppose. And then it becomes, like, not only he doesn't have time for them, he, like, you know, sees them, and then he's like, looks down on them, even.
Right, because my paintings make money.
Yeah.
My many paintings make money.
Truly, I am worth more because I am doing something that, like, is considered unorthodox and a harder... So therefore it's harder. So therefore I worked harder. Therefore I've, you know, generated more value and I'm worth more as a person. Therefore
my life is worth more than yours. And I will get a spot on the arc that goes to space in 20 years.
There you go. So midpoint is... before that sort of B-plot with the friends and fam takes off, the midpoint is where I see... Because I'm learning new things, because I'm learning new techniques, I'm honing skills, I'm growing and making more per painting. What am I working towards? It's like there's some sort of cognitive dissonance between what I'm doing and what I believe. What am I working towards? And then that's when Screwtape sits him down and is like, yeah, there's a theoretical in some field of psychology. There is a theoretical best painting to make. And it's only, and it would only really be practically possible for someone who is almost like a master of all these different techniques. And here's the unattainable, far off deity name that got close a couple times. It's like, oh damn! Right. Now we got a new target in mind, and then that's when things start really going downhill. So that's our midpoint.
That's our midpoint. And okay, so when we come back, we will come back with names for these characters. I feel like we kind of have to clarify. Is a our protagonist's family, friend group, and maybe like romantic interest, and you know, actually decide whether it's just friends and family or it's there's a romantic interest, and he's and the ways in which he's drifting apart from them. So, anything else?
We'll come up with a name for the movie.
Oh right, yeah, the movies have titles.
Cool.
It's been a long time since we did this, Eric, so, you know, I'm a little out of practice.
We'll be right back after this commercial break from ourselves. And we're back. We came up with names for the characters. The protagonist is named Dorian, after Dorian Gray, and that theme sort of persists for the other major characters. The Tier 2 sort of mentor that Dorian gets instead of Henry, after a character in Dorian Gray, is just Henrietta. That unattainable, the painter who actually painted the portrait in Dorian Gray, his name was Basil, so we went with Vasil. That's just some Ukrainian dude, because he was an elusive aristocratic painter in the original, so that was apt. And his girlfriend is named Sybil, like his girlfriend in Dorian Gray, named Sybil.
We went with the title Gradient, because, you know, it's fun, we're playing with the title of Dorian Gray, this story about... painting and personal corruption and obsession, but also color gradient, which is when you go from one color to another in one step at a time, which is also kind of like a cool metaphor for personal transformation, for better or for worse. It happens kind of slowly in one step at a time.
Nice.
Look at us, we're so clever.
Okay. So what remains is the second half of the movie. What was the midpoint we decided on again? Was it the art gallery and then Henrietta?
It was like, it's the perfect painting.
Right. Oh, yeah. The realization of the perfect painting was kind of the deal. I'm kind of stuck in Devil Wears Prada mode rather than Whiplash mode, mostly because I've seen the Devil Wears Prada a few times and I haven't seen Whiplash at all.
Man, you switched between those so fast that it gave me a headache.
I was gonna say Prada. You gave me Prada.
That's, that might have been better.
So let's come up with two major plot point events. One just isn't enough. One for sort of the setup that presents Dorian with a sort of jumping off point. The second will be the sort of the breaking off of him with his friends and family. Like him saying, I choose painting over you. And they're like, you don't mean that. And he's like, no, I think I do. And so it has a sort of finality to it, but it's not actually over, because it's not actually over until the second to last plot point where he talks to Vasil, the mysterious elusive painter, and it's definitely over at the finale where he unveils his painting that he's like, it's just a portrait of me and my buds or something. I don't know what that painting would be. That is a major plot point that the screenwriter would have a hell of a time coming up with.
Yeah, that's true.
So, first plot point. Presenting with the jumping off point. In Devil Wears Prada, it's when Emily Blunt's character is hit by a car, which doesn't give you very much context if you haven't seen that movie. But the deal is, Emily Blunt, was about to go on like a fancy trip that she's been aspiring to go on for so long, and then she's hit by a car, she's in a cast, and she can't go. So the main character,
played by Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway's character will go in her stead, but I think the thing was, she was given the opportunity to replace Emily Blunt's character before that happened. So it was like, here is the jumping off point, will you take it? And they sort of don't quite, the decision was made for her, essentially, you know? So do we want to come up with a situation sort of like that?
I think...
I got it.
What?
His girlfriend or his girlfriend's, like, sister or something is hit by a car. She's got, like, a dance recital or some sort of physical activity that is, like, a performance that means a lot to her. Does not mean so much to the protagonist. Because, yeah. Sybil. Oh, my gosh, it's Dorian Gray meets Devil Wears Prada. Sybil in Dorian Gray, she has some sort of bad performance, and Dorian has grown so vain that he's like, that sucked, I'm breaking up with you. But in Devil Wears Prada, we can mix the two. It turns into, she has, I don't know, let's go with dance, or let's go with some sort of something she has to be on her feet. She's hit by a car, and then she's in a leg cast, and then that way, he doesn't have to break the news to her that I wasn't going to go to that anyway. You know? And then she sort of suspects, but she doesn't want to confront him. She's like, would you have gone? And he's like, I don't, yeah, sure. And she's like, that was the biggest lie, you suck at lying. And he's like, well, I mean, like, what's more important? And she's like, hey. And then he goes off, and he's about to, like, go back in and talk to her and all this stuff when he gets the call from Henrietta, hey, I got that meeting set up with Vasily. Or, excuse me, I got that meeting set up with Vasily. Are you in? And he's like, yeah, let's go. Uh-huh. They fly out to the mountains, and that Deus Ex, what was that called? Was that Ex Machina? What was that movie?
It was called Ex Machina.
Yeah, with the Ex Machina set. He goes out there, and then they have like a 20-minute conversation. Ooh, wait, okay, now I'm on my aesthetic shit. They like have dinner, and it's cool and like minimalistic, but also really good or something.
Yeah. It's just like, it's just a piece of meat with some sauce on it.
Yeah,
I was like, what could meat sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What good meat sauce, Vasil?
It's just like sitting there, drinking wine, looking at some paintings.
Oh gosh, this is so good. Okay, now I'm just straight up writing the scene, essentially, rather than coming up with the broad strokes. Is he like goes from painting to painting, and Vasil is like, yes, this is the one I am most proud of, and it's not one of the, you know, almost optimal paintings or whatever. And then he's like, how does it make you feel? And we can just have like a straight up montage of internal montage of him like having like a mental break of, oh well, this makes me happy. Why is that, Dorian? Because I'm thinking of anything besides painting right now. He's freaking out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't outright say that, but he does have that one-on-one for a long time with Vasil, so that way they get to the heart of the matter, and he's like, no, I forgot why I was here. Please, Vasil, confirm my... Give me that affirmation. Tell me to paint more. Tell me to get more into the art and to forsake my family and friends. And Vasil's like, fuck you, what? No.
You're a dangerous lunatic who wants to make crap art.
Yeah. And then maybe he can even have a speech himself about, you know, good art comes from that which you are forsaking right now. So you're on a one-way ticket to Badsville.
Food will always come to those who love to cook. Every movie we make is Ratatouille.
Word.
Let's see. Okay, so there's only, like, four movies. Two of them are Ratatouille and Max Keeble's Big Move.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, but moving aside from these weird jokes, I like that, and I think that this final, this final event that we're moving towards is that he's supposed to, have this show at a bigger gallery. So he's supposed to have, like, I don't know how big those shows are, is that he's going to be the main attraction at a larger gallery. And that's supposed to launch him into, like, a career as a major artist. And people have come to expect specific things of him. Is like, he's painting stuff that's very popular right now. It's like, it's all inspired by certain post-impressionists or whatever. I don't know what's big in art right now. And then instead of painting this stuff that has become popular, he paints things that are very much in the vein of what he was doing in the first, in this, like, first introductory scene. And it's that stuff, but better. It's that stuff, but more so. And the reviews from critics and the sales are very middling.
Word.
It's not like, it's like absolutely bombed. It's like,
what else?
Like, it's like we got two unimpressed. We've got a promising future. This guy absolutely raked you over the coals. but it's a pretty mixed bag from the major critics. We did pretty well. It's not as much money as you've been making. But it was technically profitable, but I wouldn't expect a call back from a major gallery anytime soon.
All right.
And it's just this choice to do the art that comes from the people you love and that lets you continue to be with the people you love instead of submitting to market forces as if that should dictate what is good.
Word. Where do the characters end up? Well, we kind of already set that up. Dorian and Sybil are good. Yeah. Henrietta just sort of goes off to keep doing her thing, yeah. And Vasil stays in his spot to keep doing his thing.
I think that there should be, like, some begrudging respect from Henrietta. She's like, ugh. This one's okay. I think I can sell this one.
Okay.
She takes it and she just leaves, a little bit of a head shake, but she's like, all right, it's a good artist. There's already not enough of those. Better to have one, better to have someone, better to at least have one more good artist around.
Word. Yeah. Okay, well...
And that I think that it should be very much presented as... how does he get his... Like, his parents and his girlfriend and a couple of his friends to come to the show. I mean, to the gallery opening. Or to the art show. We're calling it an art show. There are too many different names for the same damn thing.
I imagine it was just an RSVP that we set up sometime around the midpoint. And they RSVP'd yes, but then he pulled that shit before the car hit Sybil. And then, you know, everyone was around when he and Sybil had that fight. And so it was basically like, oh, well, now they're not coming. I don't need them. But, you know, of course they come because they're still good people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Cool. Okay.
I'm willing to wrap up a little early because I feel somewhat sickly. Mm-hmm. And my heart's just not in it right now.
Okay. We got anything else? Any more? Do we need to tap any harder?
Nope.
To get inside this story tree and extract delicious story sap?
Story sap.
To distill story syrup?
Nope. I'm feeling sickly, so I'm just going to say nope.
No.
I want to lie down.
Okay.
All right.
The end?
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.